let's get in the zone. The traditional Easter greeting is that I say Christ is risen and you respond, He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter. Welcome to Highlands United Methodist Church. My name is Brad Lorvik. I'm one of the ministers on staff, and it is a joy to welcome you to worship this morning. After a few snowy days, that sunshine just feels beautiful, doesn't it? And that's really what we're here celebrating about, the arrival of the light once again this Easter morning. Highlands United Methodist Church is a place that is building a home where all belong. That's who we are when we're at our best, and it's who we're striving to be every single day. We wanted to share a little bit of that with you, so we put together a little note that just has a few highlights. Look, we've got a mission statement, we got a vision statement, we got a welcome statement, we got a list of... We figured rather than giving you a bunch of words, we'd rather just show you a few of the things that we're doing to embody all of those ideas each and every day. And so do take a look and see. We invite you to be a part of all that this congregation is and does in the community and the world. Things like the United Orange Food Drive, 331,000 donations to local food pantries. That was amazing. We got some wonderful stuff coming up. Do take a note, Vacation Bible School this summer. Wonderful way for kids to spend some summer evenings learning loving values. I mean, they have science experiments they do. I never got to do science experiments at Vacation Bible School. We're also really excited, a couple of the green team notes. We're putting in a bike repair station out on the corner for the neighborhood to use. We've got a great gardening program going on where you offer the care and we give you the plant. And then all the food that plant develops goes to local food pantries. Some wonderful things going on we'd love to keep you connected with. If you'd like to know more about all the things that we do and who we are, there are little blue cards in the pews. That's a great way for you to connect with us. They get you, if you check the box, you can get our weekly email. Our weekly emails are informative, not pushy. And we try to send like maybe one, two a week at the most. But we invite you to get connected with the many things we're going on. It's our hope to connect you with opportunities to share who you are and what your values are. Why don't we take a moment now, find someone you haven't met before, then find the folks you haven't seen in a while, and let's greet each other. I'm As you make your way back toward your seats, I'd love to catch you up on a couple other things. For those of you that may be guests with us today, I do want to let you know there are restrooms right through this door and halfway down the staircases behind you, just to make sure you know where things are. I also want to let you know if you have kids with us. They are perfect as they are, whatever noises they may make, however how busy they may be. We like to be a welcome and friendly place for everybody. If you want resources, I do want to let you know we do have a nursery. It's downstairs at that end of the building. Great staff. My kid loves being there. Also want to let you know we've got a couple, we call them parent-child rooms. If you go up the stairs towards the balcony, you can still hear what's going on. And there's toys and books and space to play. Make yourselves comfortable. Know those are available to you, but not required. Also, at the end of the service, we sing the Hallelujah Chorus. This is a long-standing tradition. And I know that many of you have probably sung it before in your lives. Maybe you're in a choir at one point in time. Maybe somewhere in the back of your head that high school director still wants you to do. Come join us at the end of the service. You'll hear an invitation. We've got the music ready for you. We'd love to have you join us as we fill in and sing that together. And then starting next week, we launch a new sermon series. This is one of my favorites. I've been waiting to do it for a long time. It's entitled Relationships Are Messy. And it delves into some beautiful, amazing stories and fables that help us understand how we deal with family, friends, work, all of the relationships we have. You know those people that take their problems and make them yours? We're going to talk about that. You know those people that are so sensitive they just command the room and everyone has to be careful because of you-know-who? We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into other things and the messiness of relationship and how we're called to live and be who we are. It's going to be great. There's a lot more going on, but that's what the email and the Facebook and the website are for. I would love to invite our acolytes to bring the light in this morning, reminding us that Christ is alive and the Spirit is present.
Please rise as you are able and join me in our call to worship found in your bulletin. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. The Lord has risen.
He is risen indeed.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Christ has risen indeed.
For this is a day of new beginnings.
God is making all things new.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Our opening hymn is Christ the Lord Has Risen Today. The words for all of our songs today are found in your bulletin. If you would like to use the hymnal, you will find it in the red hymnal, number 302.
Love free.
As you're seated, we'll invite the children to come down for children's time. Let everybody sort of gather in and huddle in. We sing a children's motto. It's in your bulletin if you'd like to join us.
So if you guys want to come this way and just have a seat, maybe right by these stairs if you want, we're all going to kind of look at this blue curtain, and we're going to have a little guest come with us, come share a story with us and stuff like that. So, well, oh my goodness, good morning. It is so good to see each and every one of you. Happy Easter.
Don't worry, everyone. The Easter flamingo is here.
What? The Easter flamingo?
It's me, Frank. I'm here to be the Easter flamingo.
I know it's you, Frank. That part didn't confuse me. The part that confused me, it's the Easter flamingo part I didn't understand.
Oh, you think it's supposed to be a bunny. Common mistake. Think about it for a minute. What is one of the most common colors you see at Easter?
Well, pink, I guess.
And where do you find that bright, flashy color?
On eggs?
Let's be honest. Bunnies don't know eggs like birds do. And no bird knows pink like I do.
So that makes you the Easter flamingo?
It sure does. Oh. Now all I need to know is what Easter is.
That would probably be important if you're going to be the Easter flamingo.
So...
Oh, you would like me to tell you?
I think that's what we're all here for.
Well, all right. So Easter, well, it means a lot of things. Easter is the day that we celebrate the life of Jesus.
I thought we did that on Christmas, you know, his birthday.
Well, today we celebrate that even when people thought that Jesus' life was over. You know, it wasn't.
Oh, well, when you put it that way, what does that mean?
Well, the Easter story tells us that God's love is more important than anything, even death. The Bible story tells us that God brought Jesus back to life, and that life does not end when our bodies do.
So Easter is about life after we die?
It's about that, and it's about so much more than that. It's about everyday life. What do you think were the most important things that Jesus did?
Jesus taught us about doing the right thing and helping people and loving everyone. Those are pretty important.
That's a great list, Frank. And today we celebrate those things today, tomorrow, and forever.
Mr. Brandon, I need to go do some of my Easter flamingo work.
All right, well, let's pray together. Would you guys repeat after me? Dear God.
Dear God.
Today we celebrate.
The life of Jesus.
Grant me the courage to always live a life of grace, of justice, and love. And may I always remember that you love me. Amen. So before we do our children's motto, just a reminder that there's no Sunday school today, so we're going to go back to the seats with our parents, and let's do our children's motto, shall we? In all that we think, in all that we say, in all that we do, may we glorify you. Amen. Thank you, guys.
The tomb is empty, he is not there, the stone is rolled away.
Thank you, choir. As we come to a time of prayer this day, I invite you to hold in your thoughts and your prayers so many different things. Usually on a Sunday, we take time for some joys and concerns to listen amongst our community. This day, I will invite you to name those in your heart during our time of silence. But as we enter this time of prayer, please keep those who are the victims of violence around the world in your thoughts and your prayers. Please keep those who don't know where their next meal is coming from in your thoughts and your prayers. Please keep those who struggle with addiction in your thoughts and your prayers. Please keep those who are looking for work, who are dealing with family strife. You know the list. I invite you to hold those things in intention in your life in this moment and in many moments. What we'll do is we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer together. We've been doing this for the last few weeks here at Highlands United Methodist Church. Now, this one's not in your bulletin. It's a repeat after me song, though, so you should be good. If you want it, it's in the black hymnal, number 2278. Let us sing the Lord's Prayer together. You can repeat after me. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the times of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever, forever. Father in heaven, holy is your name. God, as we so often cry out, our prayers can be simple. Help us. Thank you. Wow. Hear the prayers of our hearts as we gather this morning. God of new life, we have arrived at the tomb and found it empty. What just days ago was finished, now has begun again, for life springs forth and leads us all into the world anew. We give thanks. The gift of this day is for all people. And we extend our prayers for all those we know, as well as for those we may never meet, to whom we are tied by our shared humanity. On this day of hope, We give thanks for the potential that each day brings. Help us live into the promise of each moment with the assurance of your love. Help us to bring your hope to the places it is needed most, to the corners of the world that have all but been forgotten, and to the street corners that are all but avoided. May we live in the boldness of this day, living, serving, loving boldly, knowing that we carry within us the life of your new creation. May we receive the blessing of this day as a call to bring new life to others. On this day of new beginnings, we give thanks for your forgiving grace that overlooks our shortcomings. For when we fall short of the life we hope to live, you meet us where we are, O God, and you offer strength for us to try again. For with you, all things are possible. We've seen this at the tomb, and we see it in our lives. We offer our praise this day for all that you have done through the death, the resurrection of Christ. We pray all these things in his name. Amen. Our next hymn, found in your bulletin or in the black hymnal number 2115, is Christ Has Risen. We'll remain seated, but sing like you're standing. That is a lesser-known Easter hymn, but come on, it calls religion strange, and I feel that's appropriate, because often it is. I remember learning to rappel when I was in Boy Scouts. Right, you know, you hook up the rappelling. There was this giant tower at summer camp. I mean, it had to be like 4 or 5 stories tall. And we'd all get lined up and slowly climb the stairs up the middle of this tower until we reached the top. When you got there, they'd put you in a harness, they'd connect everything, and then they'd ask you to just lean backwards into nothingness. I was so excited about rappelling. I mean, I had been looking forward to it for years. I was so excited because when you were little, you only got to watch. And now I was big enough, and I was so excited about rappelling until I got to the top of the tower. And then they put the harness on me. And then they expect me to just lean backwards into nothingness. As soon as I got to the top of that tower, I was overcome with questions and worries and doubts and just outright fear. The camp leader looks at me and he just says, "I've got you." Such reassuring words, if I could have believed them. Every time I would say something, he would say, "I've got you." And then I would respond with, "Yeah, but what about, you know, but what about the harness? I've got you. But what about this little carabiner thing? It looks kind of small. I've got you. But what about the rope? These are old. I've got you. But what about the anchors? What about the weathering on the wood? Is this sound?" I mean, just question after question, worry after worry. And every time he said, "I've got you," I had another, "but what about" to list. This, to me, is far too true of our human condition. And I'm not just talking about repelling here. I'm talking about life. Think about our relationships. Think about how we see ourselves, our self-confidence and self-worth. Think about the decisions we make every single day, the day-to-day stuff that leaves us worrying. Amidst all of that, amidst all of life, God says, "I've got you." And then here we come with our, "Yeah, but what about?" I mean, God keeps saying, "I've got you." In Genesis, after every step of creation, God looks at all of life and looks at us and says, "It is good." In Jeremiah, God says, "I know the plans I have for you, and they are plans to give you a future with hope." In the Psalms, we're reminded that God shepherds over us, tending to every need. Verse after verse, page after page of our scriptures, relationship after relationship, God not only claims humanity, but God says, "I've got you." And generation after generation, humanity continues to respond, "Yeah, but what about?" We question ourselves and our worth. "But what about my failures?" We worry about the decisions that we make. "But what about what could have been?" I mean, we have anxiety about change. "But what about keeping things like they are?" We carry uncertainty about people and experiences that are different than us. "But what about the things we don't know?" Questions and worries and anxieties, all of these things are different expressions and forms of fear. I mean, we use all sorts of different words and phrases to mask it. Because "I'm still warming to the idea" sounds a lot better than "I'm afraid of it." But afraid we are. We as people have a tendency, if not an outright human condition, toward fear. And God knows this. You know, it's funny. Every single time God sends a messenger to earth, the first thing this messenger has to say is, "Do not be afraid." Often we attribute this to the fact that in the Bible, if an angel shows up, people are probably just scared. But I don't think that's what it is. I think angels, whatever the role they play in the story, they're really saying, "Do not be afraid," to just address the day-to-day fears and anxieties of the people they are meeting. Now, I often bring this up at Christmas because, you know, "Do not be afraid" is one of those famous phrases from the Christmas story. But we hear the phrase, "Do not be afraid," just as much in the Easter story as in any other story in the Bible. Hear the Gospel of Matthew tell us about Easter morning. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, how'd you like to be known as that for all of history? Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Now look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone in front of the tomb, the angel rolled it away and sat upon it. Now that angel's face was like lightning, and the clothes as white as the snow. The guards were so terrified that they shook with fear and became like dead men on the ground. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here because he's been raised from the dead, just like he told you. Come, see the place where they laid him." Not here. "Now hurry, go tell the disciples that he has been raised from the dead and Jesus goes before you to Galilee and you will see them there. Tell the disciples that. I've given this message to you." With great fear and excitement, the women hurried away from the room, running to tell the disciples. But while they were on their way, Jesus met them. And Jesus greeted them. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid." Go and tell my brothers that I am going to Galilee, and they will see me there. Do not be afraid is part of the Easter story. I mean, in this scripture, we find the guards very afraid. I mean, these guys have weapons, they have armor, they have training, and none of that's adequate for the circumstances they are encountering. And then the women, oh, the women are afraid. At first, they're afraid that someone had taken Jesus away. And then they're afraid because Jesus wasn't dead like he was supposed to be. And then they're afraid that no one's going to believe them. Can you imagine being charged to carry that message back? And if we could just for a moment give the ladies a shout out, because they had a lot more to be scared of than the guards, and they were still functional. The guys with the armor and the weapons, they just fall over and can't move. But the women, they make things happen. Now, the fears these women were experiencing were bigger than an angel, bigger than a rock, and bigger than an empty tomb. You see, the story of Easter picks up on a Sunday morning, but to really understand the questions, the worries, the anxieties, to understand the fear that truly was present that morning, we need to go back a few days. 3 days, to be precise. 3 days ago, Jesus died. And with him died the hopes, the expectations, and the dreams of countless people who believed that God was doing something new. And on that day, 3 days before, that something new had ended. The women who were coming to the tomb, they are coming to stare at a rock and be reminded that hope was gone. In some versions of the gospel story, the women are coming to anoint Jesus and do things with oil or flowers. But in Matthew's account, these women are showing up to just sit there and stare at a rock. They were too afraid to do anything else. They didn't know which end was up. They did not know Jesus would be alive because they don't come to church on Easter and hear the same story every year. These women and so many others saw everything end on Friday. Things that they had hope in. Because before that Friday, they had really begun to believe that Jesus meant it when he said, "I've got you." In all of the stories he told, in the healings he performed, in the teaching he did, in the intentional inclusion of those too often left out, Jesus had looked at every person in his life and said, "I've got you," and they believed him, and then the world took that away. Now, some of the more cynical people had warned them about this. Every time Jesus would say, "I've got you," the more cynical people would say, "Yeah, but what about the Roman Empire? Yeah, but what about the religious establishment?" Oh, there were so many "but what abouts" when it came to Jesus. And right as these women were getting ready to lean out into the unknown, they found themselves untethered, alone, and scared. And I tell you, the religious and political institution of the time loved it. In fact, they even made it happen. The political and religious institutions of Jesus' day played on people's fears. Oh, the political and religious institutions played on people's fears of economic ruin. They played on people's fear of folks from other countries. They played on people's fear of people with different religious backgrounds. I mean, don't they always? Don't they still? By killing Jesus, they thought they were killing the opposition to their campaigns and their dogma. Power structures love fear when it keeps people in line. Candidates for elected office love fear when it can swing a vote or a couple thousand. This was as real 2,000 years ago as it is now. Fear being used as a tool, a weapon, a form of leverage to guide and shape institutions and communities and people and the decisions we make. This has to stop. Jesus believed so. I believe so. And I pray that you believe so too. That fear should not be what guides us in this world. Jesus didn't just believe it needed to stop. Jesus had been actively challenging it. He had been pushing back on that fear, and so they killed him. They killed Jesus to prove his "I've got you" had limits. Because when "I've got you" has limits, fear wins. And that's what Easter is all about. Proving those "but what abouts" and those limits, proving them wrong. You see, back on the rappelling tower at scout camp, there I was, still quivering at the center of the platform, holding on for dear life. I was too scared to go over the edge, but I was also too scared to walk back down the stairs and have to tell everyone I couldn't do it. I was petrified. My list of but what abouts and limits had gotten really, really long. But what about the wind? But what about the age of the structure? These things, they were all just in my mind. So the camp leader smiles, and across the platform he shouts, "Hey, Hank, come here." From the other side of the platform, I see movement. And then from the other side of the platform, I feel movement. The tower is shifting, only adding to my but whatabouts. Hank comes over, and the camp leader says to me, "I want you to meet Hank." Camp leader looks at Hank and says, "So, Hank, Brad's got a few concerns." Hank looks at me and says, "So, Brad, what do you weigh?" "About 87 pounds. I was a really stringy, slim jeans kind of a kid. Then the camp leader looks at Hank and says, "Hey, Hank, what do you weigh?" "I keep it under 300, says a guy who certainly is not only 8 years older than I am, but easily the captain of his wrestling team. Hank clips in, looks at the camp leader and says, "You got me?" And as soon as the camp leader smiles and says, "Yeah, I've got you," Hank takes a flying leap off of this tower. The whole tower begins to sway like a sapling in the breeze. The rope starts zipping. My eyes are bigger than my head. And all of a sudden, I hear Hank somewhere halfway down that tower holler, "How you doing up there?" And the camp leader looks at me right in the face and says, "I've got you." I didn't have any more but whatabouts after that. But what I did have was my very first rappelling experience, and it was awesome. Because if that camp leader could handle Hank, that camp leader could handle me. In fact, that camp leader could handle anything. Easter is about an "I've got you" that doesn't have limits. Each and every time, generation after generation, God had been finding new ways to say, "I've got you," and humanity would simply pull out another limit and say, "Yeah, but what about this?" God wanted to find the most extreme boundary, the heaviest example possible, to prove the extremes to which that divine "I've got you" really goes. And there was no bigger human boundary, no more extreme human fear than death. And if God can handle death, God can handle us. If God can handle death, God can handle anything. On Easter morning, after the world shook and swayed with Jesus taking a flying leap off into death, we hear Jesus' voice asking, "How you doing?" And God looks right at us and says, "I've got you. Do not be afraid." Happy Easter. Amen.
Our offertory prayer is found in your bulletin. Let us join together in prayer. In response to the love you have given us, God, we offer here what we have, what we do, and even more who we are, that our generosity might transform the world. Amen.
I know.
Our sending prayer is found in your bulletin. Let us join our hearts and voices together in prayer.
We rejoice in the new life of Easter, for God's promise of life is fulfilled once again. May we experience the blessing of this day as we are reminded that nothing can separate us from God's love. Let us leave this place amazed, ready to not only share the good news, but ready to live the life we have been given. For just as on that first Easter morning, Christ is alive and goes before us. Hallelujah. Amen.
Our closing hymn is Crown Him with Many Crowns, found in your bulletin or number 327 in your red hymnal. If you would like to join the choir in singing the Hallelujah Chorus, please come forward during the hymn. The music is by each door beside the front.
We got a couple more folks on their way up. No worries. Babies are welcome in the choir too. Please come on up. What's up, Evan? Hi.
Hallelujah.
Happy Easter, everybody. The Easter egg hunt will be downstairs. We'll start in about 10 minutes at the most. Head on down with the kiddos. The eggs will be easy, but the candy will be wonderful. Happy Easter!